Yeah, and I from there, and then my leg got to sleep. Yeah, I was about 18, 19. I was too young to get married, too young to go to the army. I volunteered for the army. I volunteered in the Navy. But I can't get it though. They won't take no aliens.
Oh, in the Navy they wouldn't take.
I was in the wetback myself.
But they took you in the Army.
They didn't take me. And here they were taking Chinese and black Negroes, the Filipinos, they won't take the Chicanos. They turn around and the army says, "We don't want. They don't want you. You come here." So I went to the army. 1943. I had training for 17 weeks. I was getting only $14 a month. Compared to now, they don't do a damn thing. Now they get $600-$700 a month.
Where did you train at?
Camp Roberts. I was there for 17 weeks. I was up there about 3 months ago. I went up to see my camping grounds, barracks, and we were
Yeah, it's all still there, Camp Robertson.
at training. And one day I never had a furlough. So one day I asked the commander, says, how about a couple of days to furlough? He said, go ahead, take four if you want to. So I got up in the morning at breakfast, and the train used to go by $5 from Camp Roberts to L.A., $5. I said, well, I ain't got no car, I ain't got no friends that has any car. They have cars, but they're gone, you know, they come around. So I got on the train. It took me all day from Paso Robles to L.A. It took me all day. I got out of the camp. I got off the camp at 7 o'clock, and I was at L.A. at 10 o'clock at night.
It still takes
That
that
damn train skipped stopping all the towns. Oh. It's funny, the bird. It's funny, and sometimes it's not funny. Anyway, I have a lot of friends here. Sometimes, once in a while, they come around and see me. And then once in a while, when I'm all right, I go out and say, "Hey, where you been?" "Hell, I've been sick." You guys know that I've been sick, but you ain't got no time to come and see me. But when you guys get sick, you want somebody to come over and see you. That's not fair, I says. Let's be equal.
I have a question to you. I met Tom Manzano a couple of years ago, and he gave me a picture that had a marching band in it that some of the Manzano brothers were in. Do you remember that band? It was back in the 20s or 30s. I don't remember. I guess they were there was a drum line and a band. Do you remember anything about that group? The Manzanos were involved in some sort of a marching band here in town.
Oh, you mean when I had the 16th of September?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a picture, but I can't find it.
Oh, too bad.
The it's like they made a club, like American Legion. They got together, but there's about 12, 15 together. We had about six or seven tamboreros, drums. My brother-in-law was one of them. And then they had, the rest of them had clarinets. And it was the 16th of September, they marched. and they play the drums. And then they had the Queen, 6th of September Queen. I forgot the name of the girl, but they used to train up in Tribune Street. Right in the corner of Tribune in Brockton, on that corner, there were no houses. There's an orange grove. And on this side, anyway, Brockton went as far as 6th Tribune. This corner also was orange grove. And the ranch is the only place had a fence where it hit the Brockton. I went to the army when I came back. There's houses. Houses on this side, now they're huts for rent. Or apartments, on both sides. I remember I was drunk one day and I had a 43 Plymouth. And I was so damn drunk I didn't know the damn fence. And I took the fence with me. Yeah, and then they used to march there. They cleaned, everybody got together and cleaned the lots, because they're full of brush. Everybody got together and started cleaning, raking, and sweeping a lot of brush, and then they water it so it'd be hard, and then they start, for a couple of weeks they let it go, and then they start marching, training. And they, tambores, these are here from far away. Then they had the fiesta. And then after that they had a baseball field on Tribune Street.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And the St. Mary had a queen. What was, Linda Soto? Mm-hmm. She's over here. She was a queen. She was queen for St. Mary's. Okay. And they made a parade, dance, and everything, because they were going to start a baseball game, baseball club.
Okay.
And they used to play there. A lot of people from all over came down. A lot of people from Colton, San Marino, L.A., used to come down and play baseball. But something happened that just went slowly, slow, fading away. And finally, just fade away. But,
and this was all before the war, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
See, this is England right there. I'm in there someplace, but I can't see myself getting cigarettes. They give you cigarettes.
Yeah.
The story says one guy went over and got the sergeant's, no, he was in line getting cigarettes. He says, "I don't smoke." He says, "You better take cigarettes because you will." And he did. He started smoking. Yeah.
When you got back from the war, from Europe, what did you do? What did you start?
When I came back from the war, I used to know my wife when I was young. And I got drunk. And the only way to ask her if she would marry me, I had to have guts enough to tell her. So I got drunk. And that's the only way I had guts enough. I met her down on Tribune, and in between Tribune and Herald, There used to be a store on the corner of Tribune. There used to be on the corner of Tribune and Sun. Sun. Where you live?
Yeah.
You live on Sun?
In Ohio, yeah.
Right there, no, this Union.
Yeah, okay, Union.
Right on the corner. And I met her there, and I asked her, we were going together, I mean, you know. And I asked her if she married me, and she said, yeah. So we got married in 1946 on Mother's Day. I had a good life with her, only though she had a vein. You see the vein, but it's that's what plugged it up, got plugged up. I had my girls, I have twin girls, and Pauline. She's a baby, 50. And the other ones are 50-something. So I used to be an orange picker. All my life was since I was 6 years old, no, 7 years old, all I did was pick oranges. And once in a while, I used to go out on Saturdays. I get tired of picking oranges, I'd go out and mow lawns, 25 cents a house. In those days, they don't pay like they pay now. And sometime, the owner of the house would come on and say, oh, you did a good job. He gave me my 25 cents and said, here's 10 cents more, 35 cents. And I started like that. And then one day, I told my wife, I said, you know what, I'm going to try to see if I can get a job with the city. I couldn't get a job before I went to the Army. The reason I quit the school is because I had to support my mother, see. I was the only man in the house. That's how I came out of the Army. On, dependents. I was the only dependent. My mother was the only dependent. I asked the sergeant if there's any chance for me to get out of the Army on dependence. Yeah, he says, well, not everybody's getting out. I'll fix the paper for you. He did. So I got out. 46, I got out. No, 40. Yeah, 46. And I came back and I could have got a job any place. But I'm so used to working outside. I'm not working. Well, it's like a friend of mine that died how many years ago. You know Manuel Iglesias?
I used to
live on this street. Way up in the corner of Western and Webster.
Yeah, I think I
used to live there. He died of cancer. When we were young, me and him, he always remembered. And he'd get drunk for that, you know. One day, we were up at San Mateo Canyon where the train goes by, and the train was going slow. And me and him and his brother, Salome Iglesias, we were up there, and Salome says, I bet you guys can't get hold of that train. He says, yeah, we can. We got on top of the train. Soon we got the train's going to go faster. We couldn't get off. By the time we stopped in Broly.
That's a bit of a ride. That's a long ride.
Yeah. Wow. So that's what we get. We're trying to get a ride. Yeah. We have to stay up that night. Next morning come hitchhiking. Anyway, I got a job with the city. I came down and went up in the morning. And there was a lot of everybody that was working, I knew them. Full of Chicanos. And I asked one of the guys, how do you get a job here? He said, well, you gotta ask Frank. Maybe he'll keep you. I was standing, leaning against the fence when he came out. He said, "Okay, you guys get in the bus. I'm in the truck. Everybody got in the truck except me." And he looked around and said, "What the hell are you waiting for? Get in the truck." So I got in the truck. And they were working up in First Home, digging a ditch for the water department. In the evening, the supervisor came and he said, "Hey, your name's not here. You're new." I said, "Yeah, got a job this morning." "I think I got a job." He said, "Well, you work all day. You got a job." So I started working for, without asking. Well, I got a job. And everybody used to make fun of me. Got a job without asking. Yeah, then I worked with the city for 33 years.
What did you do with the city?
I was a street sweeper.
Oh, street sweeper, okay.
That's the reason I'm sleeping too much now. Like, I didn't sleep. I used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, go to work at 2 o'clock. I'd get up at 1 and go to work at 2. At first, I couldn't make it. So I quit drinking. Because I was getting too desvelado, you know? And my wife said, "You better stop drinking, because by the time you go up there, you're drunk or you're still working." And I worked when I was drunk. So anyway, I didn't quit. I didn't quit drinking. The first day I got up, went up early, went to a liquor store, bought a bottle of wine. What? I took it with me to work. Cold, man, in the night, it's cold and in hell. Carry that bottle with me on one side of the street. Every time I felt going, or caught with coffee. One day I was sitting on a freeway bridge right there on Colton Avenue. Here comes the boss. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I just stopped to have a cup of coffee." And I forgot it. And I said, "Would you like to have a cup? Would you like to have a drink?" And I forgot to have wine in there. And it's a good thing he said, "No," he says, "I just had some." He would have cut me. He finally cut me one day. Anyway, that's the way I got a job. Till finally one day, I was up in Cyprus. And I was drunk. I couldn't drive. He came by and he looked at me and said, "Sorry. Get off that sweeper and leave it there. You go home. You're drunk." I said, "Hell, I'm not drunk. The hell I'm not." He says, "The way you talk." So he took me home and he says, "You're off for a week without pay." That hurts. And I had my kids who were young. So I took it like a man, and a week later I came back. "Is he okay?" I said, "I'm all right now." Yeah, in fact, I don't know, but I got a letter someplace around here where he made a letter, you know, telling me that if I didn't quit drinking on a third time, they would can my ass. I lose my job. And I know I quit. I worked for 33 years. 33 years.
Well, shoot, you must have cleaned just about every street in Redlands then in 33 years.
Oop. So I've been have a good life, and then finally I got sick. I've been getting sick since I came out of the army. Been sick. The first time I got married with my wife in 46. The only 46 in between 46, 47, I got sick. Had sinus. They went through my nose. They took me to the hospital, Norco. And it went through my nose, opened up my nose like a dollar, silver dollar, wow. Both. They went in surgery and took out the sinus out. And ever since I've been sick. I have a sister. She lives up on Clay Street. And she used to say, everybody comes to my mother, they're sick when they come back. We're malos. And I was sick. 1993, I had surgery in the stomach. I have a piece of plastic pipe inside. Aneurys. It's behind, underneath your stomach. See, your stomach's like this, see? Your stomach's right here, and they gotta go underneath here. They cut you, and they have to turn the stomach around like this, so it can get in where the main vein is. Mine was going like this, and it was gonna bust right there. So they cut it off, and they put a tubing. I don't feel it.
I was gonna ask you, you were a member of the American Legion. You're a member of the American Legion. Yeah. You're a member of the American Legion. Were you involved in any other clubs, groups?
No, I'm still involved. But I belong to the Disabled American Veterans. I belong to VFW. And I belong to the American Legion. When they first made the American Legion, I was the first chaplain. Yeah. And then some guy lives over here named Ralph Serrano. Keep pushing me. Hey, why don't you read get it off your memory. Don't read the book. And I told him one day, he said, who the hell is the priest, you or me? He said, you, okay, I do what I want. The reason he wanted my job, he got it. He went after my ass for quite a while. And I keep telling those guys, this guy keep bothering me. Oh, never mind him, he's crazy. Crazy hell, he already got my job. And that's the only way he got it. But I was a chaplain for a year, about 2 years. Yeah, and those were the days. They used to have a club right here on Redland Boulevard with the four garages. Yeah, where they sell, no, wait. You know what Sizzler is? It's on this side. They used to have a club. They made a club, but they were trying to make money, And I got involved with a woman not long ago, about 4 years ago. And every time I get the scrap papers or daily facts, pictures of old times used to come on, I cut them up, see? And I got where the American Legion was born. And they're over there. My daughter won't go for them. I've been asking my daughter to go get them for me. They wouldn't do it. I told them the other day, today I got mad and I said, God damn, if you don't want to do it, I'm going to get up, put my clothes, and I'm going to go. But you can't drive. If you guys don't pay attention to me, I'm going to drive. I don't care if I hit a car, but I got to go get my stuff. And they won't do it. Anyway, the American Legion was made of a kitchen on Latin Street. It used to be Lincoln School, mm-hmm. in the corner of Lincoln and Colton. And finally, Lincoln School went down, and then American Legion went up. And the Legion was looking for a club. Cost a lot of money to buy lumber and material. So they announced in the paper that the Lincoln School was on sale. Cafeteria. Cafeteria was on sale. With a kitchen. And the Legion bought it. And with the help of big societies, you know, here in Redlands, big men, they pull it. They didn't charge the Legion very much money, but they pull it from from Lawton Street up to Church Street. And from there, I couldn't help them because I'm on the road working, you know. In those days, picking oranges, I had to go work. But the rest of the fellows didn't work. They helped the American Legion grow up. So they start putting buildings. And then they start making dances. And they start selling food. And finally, the Legion grew up. Except right now I think it's $500 to go and get it, or $300 to get the Legion hall. But if you're a charter member, they don't charge you. But if you're a charter member, they only charge you $50. And that's what they charge me, $50. One of my granddaughter's getting married, but she doesn't want to have a dance there. It's too small. She wants a big dance. She's married a gabacho. He's got a good job working for the computers. San Bernardino County. And then they moved it. They start going up. No, when we first, when they first made the American Legion, we had to rent apartment. It's in the corner of Citrus and Olive. You know the corner, Olive. Olive and Citra hits together. Mm-hmm. That's where you had the first nightclub. I used to belong to VFW then. My brother-in-law died that's 2 years ago. Nick Manzano, my brother-in-law's brother. And we got both together, we went in the VFW. Mm-hmm. And we used to go to a meeting together. He was 10 years older than I am. And we used to drink together. He died, he was 92 when he died. Cancer. Then the Legion, then they figured out making the club. So we got together and they made a dinner, a tamales and chili and all that stuff, and a dance. Then we nominate, you know, the names of like Odie. Odie was a first commander. And after him was Norman. Said everybody's become a commander except me. I haven't even been an officer yet. And I used to go to Legion every day, every night. I was up there. They never nominate me. What the hell were you guys? As long as I pay my dues, that's all. And Some guys don't even pay their dues that are up there. I pay them every year. I used to pay $25. They only cut down $2. I pay $23 now. And I'm 84. I found out last year why they don't want me to become a life member. Because they're making money. See, if I become a member, life member, I only pay one thing. And I don't have to pay. But this way, I got to pay them
every year,
so they're making money on me, see? Yeah. And I told him, I said, the hell you guys robbing me? How come you let me become a life member? Oh, because we like you. Yeah, like me. My money's what you like. Yeah.
Now, tell me what it was like working for the city. What was it like working for the city?
When I worked with the city, first I got a job digging ditches. I dug ditches for 3 years. Every day. I used to have muscles. I ain't got no muscles no more. Yeah, I didn't have to get up at 2 or 3 o'clock. I'd be there 7 or 6:30 and get ready to go. And then once in a while they need once in a while other apartment need help, so they call me. I like to work though. I used to work in the park, you know. There's only one department I go. Pruning trees. Never went there. Then they used to make their meters, water meters. Box meters. And the lids, and they give me that job to make moldings.
Oh, okay.
And they give me work for about 3 or 4 months. Then from there, they called me back, and one day I came in the morning, my boss got sick. Somebody had to take over, you know. And the superintendent came by. He used to live right there behind me, Pete. Name was Pete. He came on. Morning, Pete. Morning, Chet. He said, Chet, we want you to become a farmer. You take care of this boys. You got to drive a truck. You know how to drive a truck? I said, yeah. You got license, I guess. That truck over there is yours from now on. So, following that, I came home, and I didn't have to worry about pigs or chowl. No more. So I got in the truck, and we come out at 7 o'clock from the yard. It used to take us all morning, 5 hours to get to first home. The hills.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to carry pipes, big 6-inch pipe in the trailer.
Okay.
You had to go slow going up the hills. And now we were up the first home where, I don't know if you ever been to the first home, you can see it. There's a water line. Let's start from here up to, it's right in the Sankey. Send down the river right like this, and the pipe goes right top like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that. Yeah,
but those pillars, they made out of rock. We made those by hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, by hand we made those pillars like this. We used to mix it with cement, and they had three or four guys, old men, knew how to work the cement. See, they start building up pillars. And then when they got dry, they put the pipe on top. And I was like that every day. Then one day, I asked the boss, one of the bosses, name was Woody. Hey, Woody, is there any chance of getting us in the sweepers? He said, well, Chet, he says, since you know how to drive everything around here, I says, I guess you will. But I'm waiting for a guy because I got my eyes on him. There's something wrong with him. You come tomorrow. Okay, so next morning. What time? 2 o'clock. Ooh. Too early, I said. Too damn early for me. Well, if you want the job there, you gotta. So I went over there in the morning. There was another fellow by name John DeVry. An old man. He's an old man already. He's a street sweeper. And he took me out. Took me out for a ride in his sweeper. Teach me how to drive it. Mm-hmm. How to handle it, you know. And then I got the habit and idea how to drive it, so I drove that sweeper. He said, well, you're doing fine. So next morning I came down and he said, the sweeper's yours. From now on, it's yours. So next morning I got up in the sweep and where are we going to go? He said, well, there's a street named Buena Vista. There's some gravel that we got to pick up. The sweepers will pick it up. And sure enough, back and forth, all night. We got bowled out by the people because we didn't let them go to sleep.
Yeah.
We're just going back and forth. We were sweeping gravel.
Mm-hmm. What? Where? Gravel from what?
Gravel and rock. Okay. That's my brother-in-law told us. He said, what are you guys doing? He said, we're picking up gravel. He said, bring me a load. So I brought him a load right in front of his side of the house. Mm-hmm. When my brother lived in the house where we used to live, his father gave him the house, see?
Okay.
And, I finally, 45. And they put down 47 that I quit. I know I quit 46. And I quit 46. But I get a pension now. $1,600. I only get $100 in shoulder. 103. That's all they give me. They only give me 10% disability. But I get the VA hospital. But I don't like the VA no more. According to the American Legion magazine, it came out that you gotta pay. It says disability, service connected, you don't pay. But you don't pay, but your insurance pay. Insurance pays so much, and government pays so much. That when you go to a VA hospital, the first thing they ask if you got insurance, so they can help you.
Where did you live when you first got married?
When I got married, I live on Sewer Street. You know Danny Vasquez? He's a warden for the St. Quentin.
Okay. The name sounds familiar, though.
He was a warden.
Okay.
For St. Quentin. I don't know if he is or retired. But I used to live behind his house. He used to live in front, and I used to live. He was just a young kid, don't. We used to pay $10 a month. $5 for each room. Only two rooms. Kitchen and a bedroom. I paid $10. My wife didn't like it because didn't like to stay by herself because everybody that lived around there were singles. Married old men, you know. You know how men, old men look. They look up to a woman like they see in her neck or something. He didn't like it because he had to go out in the toilet outside.
Okay.
Finally, we decided I had an uncle named Basilio Flores. He used to live in Wilmington. And one day he came over. And he says, when I first married my wife, I got my brother-in-law gave me a job in the ranch up in Mentone. It was Bob Payne, 95 cents an hour. And when I started working with the city, I used to get 83 cents an hour. 83. So every time I get a vacation, 2 weeks, I go pick oranges. I made more money picking oranges than I did in the city. 83 cents an hour. Huh? Anyway, I decided we'd go and look for a house, you know? So I'd say that for a while. My uncle came one day and he says, "I'll rent you also." He says, "I'll charge you $10. He had a living room, kitchen, and a bedroom. I said, "Okay." So I moved up Ohio Street, right here, right there. And at night when it was freezing, that thing was like an icebox. The cracks on the side, you know. Wind used to go right through the cracks in cold weather. So one day I went up to a dump and I found me a whole bunch of cardboard already cut. Somebody threw them. So I took them home and my wife nailed them all around. Then she put wallpaper so it stopped the wind from coming in. And then one day my uncle came down, he needed money. And my wife said, "How much you need?" He said, $200. My wife lent him the $200. We didn't pay rent for almost 5 years because he loaned that money. He told my uncle, he says, "From now on," my uncle says, "from now on, you don't have to pay rent. Because I can't afford to pay you back." He says, "No, it's all right. As long as you're in the family." I used to have a little room in the back where I used to work once in a while. And then one day we were out for a run, Yucaipa, and we bought a sack of, in those days, we had to buy beans by the sack, because it was too expensive to buy it by the pounds. It cost us $16 a 100 pounds. But it had rocks and gravel, and had to clean them. So I put the sack in the room, a little room in the back. And then one day, a friend of ours, he was old already. He needed a place to stay, him and his wife. Said, well, you can, I forgot about the sack, you know. I said, you can rent the, I didn't even charge him a rent. You know, they have that room up there. Yeah, they were there for a couple, quite a while. And every time I went up there, look at the sack keep going down. The woman was taking beans out to make. She wouldn't buy beans. Hell, she had a sack.
Yeah.
I didn't say nothing. Yeah, they're old people. They died already. Like I tell my daughters, you know, everybody's dying except me. My friends are going. Just like that. I'm still, my daughter says, maybe God doesn't want you yet. When God wants you, he'll take you. I know that, but look, I have a sister, she's 91 now. We're the only ones left, me and her. My mother and my tia Petra, my tia Juana. My Tio Andre, they're all gone. Not long ago, I have a cousin in L.A. I had three cousins that used to live in, no, wait a minute. Yeah, three cousins that used to live in El Paso. They're gone. Not long ago, he called up.